ladies and gentlemen, welcome. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., headquarters of American Free Press. It's Friday night, and we're live. And I want to tell you, folks, I've been broadcasting here on the Republic Broadcasting Network since February 1st, and I'd like to think I've had a lot of good programs and some very interesting guests, but I want to say this much, that I think this may well be the most important broadcast that I've done since coming on board with RBN. The reason why I say that is because we are going to have some real news here tonight, some very disturbing news. It's news that, taken alone, tells us beyond any question that the whole 911 story, the official story given to us by this entity, which is supposed to be our government, quote-unquote, the story that we've been told about 911 is an absolute, downright, bold-faced lie. We have two guests tonight. One of them you're very, very familiar with. It's Christopher Boleyn, my friend and colleague from American Free Press, who very kindly and very, very intelligently and efficiently and with great talent sat in for me during my three-week absence while I was over in Malaysia. Christopher, I guess you're here already, are you not? Hello, Christopher.
Yeah, hi, Mike.
Okay, Christopher is with us. And we are going to be joined by a gentleman by the name of Samuel Danner. I just learned about him today in an email from Christopher, and I said, Christopher, we got to get him on the show and you on the show, either together or or individually. And I don't know, they're going to call Mr. Danner. Is he available
yet? Well, Mike, I just spoke to his house, his wife, and in Maryland, and he's not feeling well. He's been out of touch all day. He's been undergoing chemotherapy for his lymphoma, his blood cancer.
Okay, well, he might be able to join us
at some point in the show. I told him if there's anything they can do, please have him call in.
Okay, well, in any case, as I said originally, Christopher, to you, and when we talked earlier today, that even if he couldn't join us on the show, you certainly could come aboard and tell Mr. Danner's story, and I'm sure he appreciates you taking the time to do that, especially when it's sad to say it's very, very likely that his health problems that you've just mentioned here stem directly from what happened to him on 911. And this is what we're going to be talking about. We'll really pick it up after the break, Christopher, but I just want to emphasize this, that, you know, there's so many things that have happened of independent research that's been done regarding the events of 911, and I have to say you have certainly been in the inner circle of the real leaders of the 911 truth movement, and you brought out so many important stories about a wide variety of things relating to the lies of 911. And, you know, while there's a lot of speculation out there, there have been very few people who have come forward as firsthand witnesses. Now, William Rodriguez, of course, has told us about the explosions that happened in the basement of the North Tower of the World Trade Center before the plane hit the tower.
Right.
So that story alone, as I said in Malaysia when William and I were speaking in different forums together, that story alone stands as proof that the whole 911 story is a lie. And now the story of Mr. Danner, Samuel Danner, is it not?
Yes, at the Pentagon.
Yes,
he was at the Pentagon.
He was at the Pentagon. So we have a first-hand account from William Rodriguez that puts a lie to the 911 story, and now we have the story of Samuel Danner that you're going to outline for us, having spoken to him quite a bit over the last few days. Is that not correct?
That's right.
Okay, Christopher, we have the break coming up here, and then when we come back, we'll get right into the story.
Do Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly. American Free Press. AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper. You know, we have as a guest here the guy who I consider the best journalist in America, not just because he's a friend of mine, not just because he happens to write for American Free Press, but because he is. And I wish I had the capacity to dig out and put together the stories that he does. And that's Christopher Bolin. And Christopher is just going to be telling us on his own behalf and on behalf of Mr. Samuel Danner the remarkable story of Samuel Danner. And it will be made very clear to you, the listeners, and to anybody who hears this story subsequently, that this story completely puts a lie to the government version of 911. So, Christopher, I've repeated that now about 3 times, but I want to emphasize that. And now I want you to just go ahead and tell me the story you told me this afternoon in a
show. Sure, Mike. You know, the thing about 911 is that this country and the safety and the peace of this country desperately requires that eyewitnesses and people who know something come forward and tell us what they know. And Sam Danner is, in my opinion, a true American hero because he has finally come out, and he was at the Pentagon that day. He saw the plane that struck the Pentagon. He was involved in the cleanup at the lawn of the Pentagon. He went up to the crash site, and he stood 2 feet away from the smoking engine that airplane had on its tail.
Now, Christopher, I want to interrupt you right now because I know there are some listeners out there who are going to say, wait a minute, no plane struck the Pentagon, or they're going to say no this or no that. Well, the point is that what Sam Danner saw strike the Pentagon and what he determined for himself, as you're about to relate, was that the official version of that flight that supposedly hit the Pentagon, that plane did not hit the Pentagon. Another plane did, and
right.
That's what you're going to relate.
Right. He said very clearly it was not a Boeing 757. No way. That's a big bogus lie. And that's because he's a pilot. He's been flying since he's 16 years old, since he was 16. He's now 53 years old. And after being exposed to the what I think was depleted uranium at the Pentagon, it was obviously a very contaminated site. He was there. He went there as an EMT, as an emergency medical person, a rescue person. He happened to be passing the Pentagon on Highway 395, and he stopped when he saw something in the sky. There was something in the sky, and people were looking at it. And he pulled over, and he got a good look, and he saw this small plane that he described as he said it looked like a humpback whale.
Okay, now we should point out, Christopher, the chronology on this. The incident at the Pentagon, we'll call it. The incident at the Pentagon took place, what, roughly an hour?
After 9:30, sometime about, I think it's about 9:35.
And this was already well after the incidents in New York that had already attracted the attention of the world.
Yes, he was an electrical engineer working at Amtrak, the rail yard by the Capitol. And when all hell broke loose in New York, he decided to head home to Western Maryland, out by Camp David. And he had made a wrong turn and wound up on 395 South, which goes around the south end of the Pentagon, which it's like part of the loop there.
That south end of the Pentagon, that's where the
precise
entry was.
Yeah, the aircraft which he described that struck the Pentagon. He said it was like about the size of a Gulfstream 300. He knows planes. But he said it wasn't. It had a bonanza tail. That's a V-tail.
Okay, now, I don't know how big a Gulfstream plane is in comparison to one of these Boeing planes that is alleged to have hit the Pentagon. What's the size difference there?
Well, a Gulfstream 300 has a wingspan of about 100 feet. The Global Hawk has a wingspan, which is what we think struck the Pentagon, is an unmanned aerial vehicle.
And that's a government entity, a government plane.
It's made for the Air Force. There were only about seven of them made at the time of 9/11. Two of them went missing, and one went missing on 9/11. They're based out of the Air Force Base in Ohio. That's the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base has command of these vehicles. The Global Hawk has 116-foot wingspan and is about 44 feet long. There is another variant that's a little bit larger, but it has very much this very strange shape, like a humpback whale, because it's got a big hump on the nose, a bulbous nose like a 747, like the old 747's had, and it has a single engine that's at the rear of the plane, right in front of that V-tail, and that is about a 3 or 4 foot diameter engine made by Rolls Royce, and that's exactly what he saw. He went up to the Pentagon and he saw this jet engine that had been on the vehicle, and it was about 3 feet long in diameter.
Okay, well now right there, everything you've told us just now is casts complete contradiction to what we were told about a passenger jet full of people being rammed into the Pentagon by an Arab hijack.
Precisely. Mike, what's very important about this is what Sam Danner tells us makes all those people who said that they saw an American Airlines passenger jet written with American Airlines fly into the Pentagon, makes them liars.
Well, actually, you know, I would disagree with you there, Christopher. I would say this much, that there are those who probably saw the plane, this aircraft, saw it slam into the Pentagon, and many of those people wouldn't know one plane from another. And a fast-moving vehicle, to the average person who doesn't know planes, would probably look just about like any other plane, you know.
But, Mike, when an eyewitness says that they saw a 757, and it was definitely a 757, and it had American written on the side of it, when that's not what anybody else saw, that's
well,
a lie.
No, you're right about that. I mean, there are people who gave, you know, specific descriptions.
Right.
You know, I always point out that I've had people tell me they remember watching the Zapruder film of the Kennedy assassination shown on television on November 22nd, 1963, mm-hmm. when in fact it wasn't shown on television until 1975.
Right.
Now,
right.
These people are well-meaning, and a lot of times people will crank in information that they got after the fact
mm-hmm.
and
right.
work it into it. But I would say this. I think that there are definitely many people who did lie about what they saw.
Right.
But I think now there's no doubt about it, and as I say, I have no reason to doubt Mr. Danner's word. There have been people who said maybe there were originally reports here in the Washington area that that it was a helicopter that hit the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously whoever started that story knew that it wasn't exactly a kind of passenger plane.
Well, the thing is that Danner saw also a second plane. He saw a plane at about 15,000 feet directly overhead, and he wonders whether that plane was controlling this UAV, this unmanned aerial vehicle.
That's
but Mike, he pulled over on the side of 395 on the very south end of the Pentagon, and he watched with what the plane coming in, the approach of the plane. And I asked him, he said it had that bonanza tail and the bulbous nose, and it was, he said it was about the size of one of those Gulfstream passenger planes that are like corporate jets. And he said that it was very quiet. He said that the engine was very quiet. So there was no roar.
Well, you know, even the fact that that one of the what he witnessed has a bulbous nose, that could have been misidentified by somebody else as a helicopter, because helicopters could be described as having a bulbous nose in comparison
to a typical
jet.
This plane was going about 400 miles an hour, he estimates, and that is actually the speed at which a Global Hawk can fly. The reason why the Global Hawk is the most likely suspect, I've always suspected it of being the culprit at the Pentagon, is that it's the only UAV that is jet-powered. And so it's the only one that can reach those speeds of 400 miles an hour. The Predator, for example, can only go like 150 or 200 miles an hour. And this thing was, you know, going very fast at the point when it's at the level of the grass, just before it hit the Pentagon. But this UAV, this Global Hawk, must have been weaponized, must have been carrying a missile that pierced the Pentagon and caused that hole that went through three rings.
Now, it's very important. Why do you say that it must have been weaponized?
Well, because the Global Hawk is made out of, it's aluminum, the fuselage is aluminum, but the wings are made out of carbon fiber. And this vehicle, this UAV, if it struck the Pentagon, it would have just self-destructed and not broken through that wall. Because the outside wall of the Pentagon, you have to remember, is 24 inches thick. It's got 10 inches of Indiana limestone on the outside with another 10 inches of masonry. With another 8 inches, I think, of concrete. So in order to pierce that wall, you need to bust through it. And the only thing that's capable of busting through it is like a DU-tipped missile.
Right. Okay. Well, that sounds fair enough to me. I wanted to emphasize that and obviously this kind of airborne vehicle would not even, obviously, is not the size of the Boeing jet that was supposed to have hit the Pentagon. And,
no.
I think it's important at this juncture then. Now, he witnessed this happening. He was basically on his way home of leaving the Washington, D.C. area in the midst of the 911 frenzy. And I was here that day. I saw the people streaming out of town trying to get the hell out of this place with good reason. But since he was there and had training as an emergency medical technician, then he went to the scene of the Pentagon and then started providing assistance. Is that not correct?
Yeah, well, that's what he wanted to do. Precisely, he left his car and he went over there to the crash site and he wanted to help, you know, retrieve the bodies and help the wounded. But he was completely mystified that there were no bodies and there was no wreckage and there was no, and he smelled gunpowder. He walked around there, he smelled cordite or gunpowder, and he probably smelled some other stuff, which is what caused him to get lymphoma.
There's that break coming up, Christopher. We'll return to this when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, a very important story here. Take a moment during the break and call your friends and tell them to tune in and listen to this, because this is a major story, very important story. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. This is Michael Collins Piper.
headline news, activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The counsel to get some food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times, and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Attention, this is an RBN Self-Reliance update. RBN has just learned of a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it is so effective at producing rapid and natural plant growth that it seems to force plants to grow like crazy under almost any soil and light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of C nutrients maximizes mineral uptake, dramatically increases bloom set, and gives any plant a tremendous burst of new growth. In fact, some plants may double in size the very first month. ProtoGrow is also guaranteed to produce more succulent, mouth-watering fruits and vegetables than you can carry back to the house. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. RBN listeners who want to stay prepared should call right now to order ProtoGrow. Ask about their self-reliant super pack. Call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Or visit the ProtoGrow website at www.protogrow.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons had brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com, or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C. tonight here. Live, real program, real people, with a real story that everybody needs to hear. We have Christopher Boleyn, my colleague from American Free Press, and he's telling us the story of Sam Danner, an average American who witnessed some things on 911. He witnessed them firsthand. He's a pilot. Knows a little bit about planes. He saw the aircraft that hit the Pentagon. The aircraft that hit the Pentagon was not the aircraft that the U.S. government says hit the Pentagon, a passenger Boeing jet. It was not the plane that hit the Pentagon. Now, we know, folks, there's been a lot of debate about a lot of issues surrounding 911, different theories about what happened at the World Trade Center, about what happened at the Pentagon. But the story we're hearing tonight, although it's not firsthand, and hopefully we will hear it firsthand from Mr. Danner himself, although he's not feeling well, we are getting what I know is an accurate rendition of his story from Christopher Boleyn. This story contradicts the official government story, and therefore we know that the government was lying. Okay, Christopher, you know, we have this half-hour break coming up here in just a few minutes, but
right.
We'll get back to where we were. You were telling us how after the plane hit the Pentagon, the aircraft hit the Pentagon, Mr. Danner then went to the scene to try to help out, to rescue people, and he found that there was no wreckage from a Boeing aircraft on the scene.
Right, and he also describes that there were people out there on the lawn before the vehicle hit, and there were these guys in like white suits. You know, he figures they were like agency type people or Pentagon people, and that they had binoculars, and that he pulled his car over on the right side of 395, and he got a good look at that vehicle, that UAV or that plane that struck the Pentagon. He got about a 3-second view of it coming on, because it was coming from the south and he was coming in his direction. So he was able to, for example, discern that it had a V-tail. Now that right there tells you that it was not a Boeing 757.
Right.
And he also said it's very important that he didn't see any windows on it. He saw the bulbous nose. He described it as a plane that looked like a humpback whale, about the size of a Gulfstream, a very quiet plane with a V-tail. And it had one engine on the back end. This is the Global Hawk. I urge your listeners to go to the Internet. There's a lot more about the Global Hawk now than there used to be. And just type in the word Global Hawk, and you'll get a good view of what this vehicle looks like. And this is the only plane that looks like a humpback whale.
Okay, well, now what's interesting, of course, is that there was no wreckage from a 747.
Well, he was on the lawn looking for wreckage. He wound up becoming one of these people that was scouring the lawn. There was a line of people, and they walked to the lawn, and he was picking up small pieces of aluminum. The fuselage of a Global Hawk is made out of aluminum, standard aluminum, but the wings are made out of this carbon fiber, which is kind of like glass fiber, like the kind that you would find on a surfboard, for example.
Okay.
And he found pieces of that. They were picking up pieces of that. And it's a carbon fiber. It's a very strong, lightweight, high-strength material, which the wings are made out of and other parts of the
And you would
city.
Not you would not then, this was a, was this a, this was a 747 that's alleged to have hit the Pentagon.
No, 757.
757, okay.
757.
So if it had been a 757, we would not have found that kind of wreckage.
No, you would have found big pieces of aluminum all over the lawn.
And there were no big pieces of aluminum.
And you would have found two engines that have a diameter of about 9 feet. They found one engine with a diameter of 3 feet. And you know, this is where I have written for years about the Global Hawk, what I call the Global Hawk hypothesis. My hypothesis is based on the evidence that we found at the Pentagon. For example, we found the evidence of a very small Rolls-Royce engine with a 3-foot diameter. We found that. And some people tried to say, well, that's part of the APU, the auxiliary power unit. But the people that make the APU said, no, that's not part of the APU. And
I remember that story.
You
wrote that story for American Free Press. I remember that
very
clearly.
Yes, and we put the pictures on the front page.
Yeah, well, Christopher, how did you, I'm curious about this. We hadn't talked about it. How did you meet up with Mr. Danner? Where did
Mr. Danner, I work with Eric Hufschmid, the author of Painful Questions. We work quite closely together. He's my colleague, so to speak, on the West Coast. And Mr. Danner, he wanted to get this information to somebody who he could trust. So he carefully checked out Eric Hufschmid and gave Eric a call. And Eric has recorded two very long conversations with Mr. Danner just the other day. And then I called to Mr. Danner and asked him some more questions based on having listened to what Eric said on the video or on the audio tape that he has on his website. And Mr. Danner, I asked him, why did you come out with this now, Mr. Danner? And he said, it's been bugging me. It's been bugging me. And he saw that video, Loose Change, and he said, you know, it made so much sense to me. And he got so upset with himself, he got so upset that he hadn't come out with this information earlier. And now you see his health condition is not the best. He's
yeah, that's something. We're going to have that break coming up, and I want to pursue that when we come back. But
right.
Well, here is that break coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, I know you're listening with rapt attention to this very important story, so stay tuned for more. And we do have a phone caller, too, and we'll bring those callers up. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington here on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Gasoline prices have reached record highs, and with no relief in sight, what can you as an individual do to lessen the impact on your wallet? With a guaranteed minimum of 10% and up to 30% increase in your fuel mileage, you can deny the fat cat oil executives at least some of your hard-earned money. Introducing the Fuel Mule, a very simple but revolutionary product that fits around the fuel line in your car, truck, or furnace. Utilizing scientifically engineered industrial nickel cobalt magnets, the Fuel Mule device aligns the electrons of the atom and the molecules, allowing the fuel to burn more efficiently, resulting in increased horsepower, cleaner emissions, and fuel savings. The Fuel Mule normally sells for $149.95, but we're offering a temporary promotional price of only $89.95, plus shipping and handling. Quick and easy to install, order your Fuel Mule today by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Do it now and start saving today.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper, coming to you on the Republic Broadcasting Network with what I think is probably the most important story that I've ever had the pleasure, or maybe even the word displeasure is appropriate here, in bringing to you, thanks to my colleague Christopher Boleyn, and we have his colleague Eric Huffschmidt, and really telling the story of Mr. Sam Danner, who was there at the Pentagon on 9/11. And as you've already heard, folks, it was not that Boeing, 757 that hit the Pentagon. It was another vehicle called a Global Hawk. And we do have some phone calls coming up, but I want to wrap up this story here first and just bring us full circle as to where Sam Danner is. Christopher, you say he was on the scene there, involved in, right on the scene after the crash of this vehicle into the Pentagon, and now he is suffering from lymphoma that developed, and you believe that's probably as a direct consequence of having been on the scene and involved in the the wreckage, rescue, whatever.
Yes, Mike. You see, as I explained, an unweaponized Global Hawk would just have simply crashed into the outside of the Pentagon, left a big scorch mark. In order to pierce that 2-foot wall and to bore those holes through the Pentagon, there had to be a missile attached. So I think that this Global Hawk was weaponized, as the British press has said that the Global Hawk is weaponized now in Iraq, for example. And it fired, for example, a Hellfire missile just before it struck the Pentagon, very much like what we see with that flash at the World Trade Center. So it stands to reason that in order to pierce the thick walls, you know, the Pentagon is a fortress after all.
Right.
And in order to pierce that thick wall, that reinforced wall, and that was the section that had just been reinforced, you know, you have to have some weaponized Global Hawk. And so it fired a missile, and that missile would have been depleted uranium tipped with a massive amount of DU at the tip in order to pierce through that wall. And that is what causes this bright white flash that we see in the famous video clips from the Pentagon. Now, that depleted uranium tipped missile would have bored through that Pentagon and cut through that like a warm knife through butter. But at the same time, when it struck the Pentagon, when it struck the wall, when it broke through, a lot of the depleted uranium would have vaporized. And we do have evidence that the uranium levels were elevated around the Pentagon after 9/11. And you see, our friend Sam Danner went right up to the site. He was walking in the lawn. He was touching the lawn. He was breathing the air, and that air would have been laden with very small depleted uranium particles. And one of the most common effects of inhalation of depleted uranium is that you get lymphoma. You get blood cancers. You get lymphoma. You get other kinds of sicknesses that are usually referred to as Gulf War syndrome.
Has there been that you're aware of, Christopher? And I know this is something you just started working with directly with Mr. Danner. But is there any evidence that other people who were involved at the Pentagon that day in a similar fashion have?
This is the real key thing. We want to, with this story, we want to encourage other people who saw something at the Pentagon to come forth, and we want other people who may have been sickened by their presence on the lawn that day to come forward. It's that most of the people who were at the Pentagon, on the Pentagon lawn, were Pentagon employees, and they have, of course, a gag order. They're not allowed to speak to the media like Mr. Danner. Mr. Danner was an Amtrak employee. He was an electrical engineer, and he's regretting now that he took so long to come forward with this, because in September of 2004, he was diagnosed with this lymphoma, which is
a low-grade type lymphoma. Well, this seems to me, Mr. Danner is a resident of Maryland, and his current lieutenant governor, Mike Steele, is trying to run for the U.S. Senate, and Governor Ehrlich is running for re-election, and we have Senator Barbara Mikulski, who paints herself as a politician for the people. I would think that this is something that that some politician might want to get involved in, an investigator, maybe even Senator George Allen from Virginia, who wants to be the Republican presidential candidate in 2008.
This is a huge, huge story, like you said. This story, either if Mr. Danner is telling the truth, which I think he is, then this, like I said, opens up the whole can of worms that everything that they told us about the Pentagon is a pack of lies.
Absolutely.
And what's really important is that I'm so keenly interested in this, in Mr. Danner, because everything that he says confirms what I have been writing about and speculating based on evidence heretofore.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if it's possible that there could be any, if he could be physically tested in some way to determine if he has been, infected by depleted uranium.
Yes, that's a very good point, Mike. It's a little bit late in the day. Of course, he's got this sickness now. And I spoke to him yesterday. He was doing pretty fine, and he was looking forward to talking to me today. He's very glad, actually, to talk to me. But then I called his wife just before the show because I couldn't reach him on his cell phone, and she said he's really not feeling well.
Well, I know how that works with people who've been subjected to chemotherapy, and it's not the most wonderful thing in the world. So our prayers go out to him and to his family, because we know they're going through a rough time. And I tell you, the very fact that he is coming out and talking as he is at this very, let's put it bluntly, precarious time in his life is an indicator to me just an indicator of his honesty, because someone who is sick like this would not be inclined to go out making up stories or be inclined to burden themselves with this kind of unnecessary controversy when their own physical health is in such
right. Mike,
such
he told me it's been bugging him. He just turned 53. He's got cancer. The kids have all left the house, except he's got one 18-year-old daughter left at home, and it's just been bugging him. And so his son was looking on the Internet and found the video Loose Change by Dylan Avery, and he watched it, And he said, especially the coverage in Loose Change about the Pentagon is very good. And he said, you know, he got so upset in a good sense, in the patriotic sense, he was so upset that he had to come out with it. And he says what the government, what the U.S. government's version and the media version, the mainstream media version of what happened at Pentagon, he said he called that a bunch of horse hockey.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know, those of us who've been following your research and that of so many other good people have been looking into it, we know that, you know, and mm-hmm. and like I say, like I emphasize again here, we've got a first-hand account here from this man. Now, this is not not some armchair investigator in the middle of Nebraska who's studying videos. This is a guy who was there on the scene, and that's so so yes. important to point
and
out.
And another thing that's important, Mike, is that he's a pilot. He's been flying
yes.
since he was 16 years old. He's very, very keen on military aircraft and civilian aircraft. He can identify them, you know, in a heartbeat. And that's what he was able to...
I'm glad you reiterated that point, Christopher, because you're absolutely right. In fact, I know when you first told me the story, that was the one thing that grabbed my attention, the fact that this guy is a pilot and he knew what he saw. So,
right.
Hey, Christopher, we have two callers. I'd like to get them in and see what they have to say. Carol, you're calling from Texas. You've been very patient. Come on up.
Yeah. Hi, Michael. Thank you. I have a question for you. I hope you won't think I'm off topic, but only slightly. But it's really great that Christopher's there because I'd like to hear from both of you on this question. And that is, why do you refer to 9/11 as 9-1-1? And I just want to say that in the beginning, everybody said 9/11, and then a few people started saying 9-1-1. And I even contacted some and corrected them on it, and now it's gotten like dominoes, and with the more that people hear it, the more other people use it until everybody. I heard Christopher tonight say 9/11 twice and say 9-1-1 once, so good for him, but that's a real I hope you take this seriously, because to me it really bothers me, and I wonder what's behind it.
Well, why does it bother you that we would refer to I generally call it 9?
She's got a good point. When I went around spreading information to the fire department, they didn't like the use of the word using the term 9-1-1. And really, you know, September 11th or 9/11, maybe that's more accurate. Mm-hmm. The firefighters don't like you to use the term 9-1-1 because that confuses them with the emergency number.
Well, what was your concern about that, Carol?
Well, I wonder if there's something behind it. You know, I wonder.
What,
and I think most people have done it just because they hear others. And
what
Christopher said, it's an emergency. It's already established as the emergency number for, you know, that people call.
Yeah, and, but I guess the thing about it is, you know, when I write about this subject, notice I didn't refer to it by either way. When I write about this subject, I have the option of putting 9-9-1-1 or 9/11
mm-hmm.
or September 11th. You know,
mm-hmm.
There has never been anyone who's ever whispered into my ear and said, call it 9-1-1. Or no one has ever whispered into my ear and said, call it 9/11. I guess I just don't see.
Yeah, but think about it. When we say, when you write 9/11, you're writing 9/11. You're not writing 9-1-1. When we talk about dates, we don't say, you know, February 1/1 if we're talking about February 11th or
well,
something.
Well, I guess, Carol,
and
my
so
question.
we've kind of turned this into something that I think it shouldn't be, and the thing that gets me is that it's almost total now on RBN and other type sites and speakers.
Let me ask you a question, Carol. Do you think there's some secret agenda that someone somewhere wants?
Well, there might be. It might be. I've heard some people, and I can't remember exactly what they said, but that there was something about it was just confusing it with 9-1-1 or with getting the idea of emergency, I don't know, that there's some kind of agenda about
They chose the day for that attack, probably for that reason.
Well,
yeah
I mean, and then
uh-huh.
again, I mean, yeah, we, I mean, I guess, Carol, I just don't.
Well, I think that's what concerns me. Most people will say, "Oh, what's the difference?" No, and they just go right on. And I think it's something that really ought to be thought about. And so I wanted to bring it up somewhere. So I picked your show, and I just happened to be.
Well, I guess this is as good a place as any to bring it up. I guess, Carol, when I look at it, I look at and listen to the story that we've just heard from Christopher. And it seems to me that those kind of things are really far more important than worrying.
Well, it's all important, Michael, and I just encourage you to think about it, and everybody, to get out of that habit of using 911. Because it doesn't even make sense.
I was in the store yesterday and bought some goods, and it came out to 666. And that I didn't dictate that, and the people at the store didn't dictate that, but... You know, it happens. So, you know, I'll try to say 9/11, but I can't guarantee I'll continue to say it. But let's move on to Richard in Alabama. Thanks, Carol. Richard, you have a question. Richard in Alabama.
Hello.
Richard, yes.
There's a book advertised in the American Free Press called To Kill a Country by Pamela Ray, and it's not available now. It's on the subject of the assassination of President Kennedy, and I think you're interested in everything about Kennedy. But anyway, do you understand the process by which that book was taken off the market? The legal process or anything?
Well, who took the book off the market?
Well, I just called the number that of the book ordering service, and they said, that book is not available anymore. It's off the market, and we have no information.
Well, now, was that... I don't think that book was sold by American Free Press. It was advertised in American Free Press, but she may have bought that advertisement on her own. And so, as I say, now, if you had called American Free Press and they told you that, I would be able to tell you probably why the book was no longer being sold, but I don't know why... another company is not selling it. I don't know what happened there.
Well, it just it was advertised and stopped simultaneously, you know.
Oh, well, as I say, that's an independent advertiser, and I really can't answer on that, Richard. So,
well, I just thought you were interested in everything about Kennedy. So
well, I'm interested in a lot of things, and I actually had some correspondence with, I believe, that author some time ago, and... I've been out of the country for 3 weeks, and that advertisement first appeared in American Free Press, I think, within the last 3 weeks. So I just, you know, I'm still catching up on a lot of things, Richard.
I think it's only showed up once.
Like I say, I really haven't even had a chance to really read through the issues of American Free Press that I missed. So I'm still a little bit behind. Well, listen, thank you for the call,
Richard.
We'll
catch up on it if you can.
Okay, let's... Do we have any other callers out there? Hopefully, if you do, we'd like to try to stick to the issue of, 9/11.
Particularly the Pentagon.
Yeah. This, as I say, this is an incredible, I shouldn't say use the term incredible, because incredible implies that it's possibly not to be believed. This is a disturbing story, and based on your assessment of Mr. Danner, I believe that this man is telling the truth, and I believe that he rendered very accurately what he saw and witnessed that day.
Yes.
I have a great deal of faith in your experience in dealing with Christopher. So this and likewise with Eric as well in talking to this guy. So I'm glad. I guess this may well be the first time the story is in the public record. Is that right?
Yeah, it is. That's the first time it's coming out on the airwaves. Absolutely, Mike.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm very pleased to be able to.
One other thing I want to tell you is that about these various light poles that were falling backwards and things like that at the Pentagon crash scene. There were these light poles that
right.
went over the highway. They're falling, of course. Some of them are falling away from the Pentagon. And that doesn't make a lot of sense. But Mr. Danner said he saw that, and he says that he thinks those poles were blown up, actually. There was some sort of a charge or something. Because, you see, if this Global Hawk, Mike, with these carbon fiber wings had struck those light poles, it wouldn't have made it to the Pentagon.
It wouldn't have what?
it would not have made it to the Pentagon.
Oh, I see. That's very interesting.
Yeah, and it's the same is pretty much true for other airplanes. If they struck those light poles, they would have either sheared them or it would have definitely affected the flight of that plane.
That's very interesting.
Very important.
See, there's all these little details, you know, that you put it all together, and, you know, it just obviously demonstrates that even the story at the Pentagon is a lie. I mean, the lies on top of lies on top of lies.
Right. This lie is very, very big because ostensibly there were only seven of these Global Hawks. They belonged to the military. There was another plane 15,000 feet overhead. You know, this would be a military involvement. The U.S. military must know about this.
That's right. Christopher, we do have one caller. We're going to bring him or her up from Texas, Coy from Texas, after the break, and then we're going to wrap it up. Remarkable story we've heard here tonight. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Very interesting hour here talking about 9/11 and what happened at the Pentagon. We have Coy from Texas calling. Coy, we only have a couple minutes, so why don't you jump on up here and fire away.
Okay, it's Coy from Kansas City.
Oh, okay.
This comes from an article that the Spotlight printed years ago. I started taking it when it was Liberty Letter, but nevertheless, someone needs to get a Geiger counter or that device. I forget the name of it now. There's more sensors than a Geiger counter, and go check this guy's bed and his office chair and his car out, because the Spotlight wrote an article once about what the CIA and the KGB did to get rid of people that could be a problem later on. What it is, they take finely powdered strontium-90, and they dust down your office chair, the inside of your pillow case, your pillow, your bed, and your car seat.
I tell you what, Coy, I think, you know, that's certainly a legitimate concern, but what is really important here is, see, they never knew that he was going to speak out. He didn't start to speak out until after he got sick.
They get rid of all the loose ends. That's the way they do it. And they didn't really
know he was a loose end until today.
Yeah. Well, this
today,
causes
the,
leukemia and lymphoma, so I just wondered if they knew a little more than you thought they knew. But I just wanted to mention this because the Spotlight was right on when they said this. It's an old trick, and it works good. In only 2 years, you're dead.
Well, that's true enough, but I think our real concern here is that it's very, very likely that he got sick precisely because he was there on the scene and was exposed to depleted uranium. Now, you see, there wouldn't have been depleted uranium there unless a weapon had been exploded.
Yeah, I didn't get the idea that he was there that long, but
long enough.
And, yeah. Mike, it's very important people should realize that the people who went to the Pentagon in the following days and even later that day went through very strict decontamination. There were decontamination units out there. They were wearing these moon suits with respirators and rubber boots, and even the dogs were sprayed off with washed down, because the Defense Department people who actually went and on the site after the initial event were very much aware that the area was contaminated. And unfortunately, people like Sam Danner did not have that protection because they did not have that knowledge. They thought it was just a plane crash.
That's right. I think that's it right there, Chris.
Okay. I just thought I'd mention that. Thanks a lot.
All right, Coy. Thanks for calling. You know, I tell you what, we have a couple other callers. I don't think we're going to have time to get them up, unfortunately, but we might as well just wrap it up on our own here, Christopher. I'll just say thank you and for doing what you've been doing on 9/11, and just encourage you to keep on doing it, and make sure we've gotten his story in the public record now, and I know you're going to get
it down. We need more people like Sam Danner to come out with what they know. That's what we really need, Mike. We need more eyewitnesses and more evidence of the people that really were there that day and what they saw. Sam Danner is a real American hero.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, and I'm glad we were able to get his story out here tonight. And, you know, it's...
I hope he's feeling better soon, because he has a lot to add.
One day he's feeling better. You know, you tell him anytime that he happens to have some free time.
He wants me to come to the Pentagon. I think I'm going there next week.
Well, that's a good thing. You know, you need to get him down to the American Free Press office. But you tell him anytime he wants to call the program at 7 p.m. Eastern time, he's free to call in, and we'll fire any other extended guests we have that night.
So. Great, Mike. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot, Christopher. Tell Helly and the kids I said hello.
Good night. Thank you.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. Sorry to Jeff in Vermont and Bill from Texas. We couldn't get you up, but we'll definitely bring you up next time, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening in. We've had a very important program here tonight. Very scary, very scary story. Okay, I hope you all have a good weekend, a very safe weekend, and we'll see you here on Monday. This is Michael Collins Piper signing off.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.